hands it off. Left serve will McNabb. Dorofeev, one-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin! Score! Noah Hanifin, power play goal!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolls along here on a Wednesday. The VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. So with that said, Chapman, what are we doing?
Sticks down, drop the puck for hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
All right, so we're going to hit a really interesting topic right now. We started the show, I was fired up. Connor McDavid was labeled overrated by a columnist with the Miami Herald. And it was interesting because the comparison made for what a generational talent is and should be and what they should accomplish in a team sport, the comparison was Connor McDavid to Wayne Gretzky. And then it incorrectly in the take pointed out that Wayne Gretzky was around for five Stanley Cup championship victories for the Edmonton Oilers. That's not true. He was only around for four. The Oilers won a Stanley Cup without Wayne Gretzky, and then Mark Messier went on to win another Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers. So really, if you want to make the comparison, you should make the comparison to Mark Messier, the true leader of those Edmonton Oilers teams. See, we can just throw ridiculous hot takes out there. Like, that's easy. That's simple. But at least mine is based in truth. At least mine is real. At least mine actually happened, as opposed to rewriting history and saying Wayne Gretzky won five Stanley Cups. Didn't happen. Oh, I'm sorry. Won the Stanley Cup five times, because you don't win the Stanley Cup in that sense. You are a winner of the Stanley Cup. You never take possession of the Stanley Cup. But the point remains, it's the wrong association. It's the wrong comparable. Especially because in these scenarios, when you are just throwing a hot take across the room at the board and hoping something sticks, I'd like you to at least be right about it.
Yes,
Palmer. Oh, you let me down again.
I'm offended by it. I'd just like you to be right about it.
There it is. Okay, so the conversation about Connor McDavid, whether or not he wins it, whether or not he needs a Stanley Cup championship to solidify his legacy as a generational talent, as a player that's not overrated, as the player that is the best of his generation, I wanted to take a look at some great players that never won a Stanley Cup. Because when you start to think about it, when you start to really dig into the amount of greatness that's on a list like this, Chapman, it really does illuminate the idea that the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in sports to win. When you have some players, the caliber of which we are going to discuss here, it gives you just an idea of how everything needs to break right for you just to get to one Stanley Cup final, let alone making two or three or four, let alone winning one or two or three championships.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly hard. And I think fans here got a real indication of how hard it is to not only repeat, but just win and even get back to a final in consecutive years. Because first of all, it's a grueling sport. And I know guys in the NBA, right, they do the load management stuff. In the NFL, And I'm not saying that those sports are not physical and difficult as well, but hockey is grueling. And there's a lot of things there's a lot of ways you can get hurt playing hockey without actually being hit by another human being. Like, you block a puck, you break your foot. Simple, right? Like, you lose an edge, you could suffer a leg injury. It's so difficult to stay healthy for 82 games and thus makes it even harder for an entire team to be able to have the health to go back to a final and win one. Mm-hmm. It truly is. I don't think I realized how hard it is to win the Stanley Cup until I started getting more in depth and covering the sport, because you know you don't really follow it as much when you maybe only root for one team. You know, in our line of work, we pay attention to everything, and you see, oh, this guy's out for 6 weeks now, lower body injury. Like you don't really pay attention to those things, I don't think, when you only follow one team. And it's a brutal sport. Like, it's truly a brutal sport, and there's a lot of heartbreak that goes along with it as well.
All right, so we both tried to put together a list of five players that we believe are some of the greatest to ever play the game and not win a championship. So, Chapman, you start off. Who do you got?
Well, I'm going to throw Mike Gartner out there. Mm-hmm. Mike Gartner has over 700 goals in the NHL. He's had his jersey retired by the Washington Capitals. He was an All-Star Game MVP, scored four goals in that particular All-Star Game. He's in the Hall of Fame, had over 1,400 points in his career. I'm sorry, 1,300 points in his career. He was on a member of the New York Rangers team that ended up winning the Stanley Cup in 1994. The problem is Mike Gartner was traded for Glenn Anderson on March 21st of 1994. He did not get his name on the Stanley Cup because he was a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs at the time. And so you talk about heartbreaking. Like, Gartner, clearly one of the best players in the history of the game, 700 goals. I mean, we talk about, oh, is this guy going to get to 500? The guy had 700 goals, and he never won a Stanley Cup. So, I put him on my list, and I feel bad for Mike Gartner, like I really do. Like, when you look back at the history, it sucks. It sucks for Mike Gartner that he got traded like 2 weeks before the playoffs started.
Yeah, for me, it's Marcel Dion, and that should come as no surprise to anybody that knows my background and where I grew up and the team that I grew up watching as a kid. But, I mean, like, listen, you're talking about a guy that played over 1,300 games in the National Hockey League. He has 731 goals, 1,771 points, sixth all-time in points in the National Hockey League. Like, he was everything. He was an offensive wizard. He just was. And an undersized guy. Like, that's another aspect of it too, right? Like, you know, we always talk about how hockey is a bigger man sport, and Marcel Dion absolutely thrived as a smaller player. But here's the thing with Dion that blows my mind. He never went to a conference final.
Oh.
Like, he never got past the second round in the playoffs. When you're talking about a player that was as gifted as Marcel Dion was, that has as many points as Marcel Dion had, to never get beyond round two is wild.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, he's probably, when push come to shove, he's probably number one on this list as far as the greatest players to never win the Stanley Cup. I mean, you look at his numbers, and it's not his fault. He played for bad teams. By the way, my kid's been to his coffee shop in Ontario. He was not there that day, but apparently he does pop in from time to time. But he's probably the number one guy on the list.
I would agree with that. And then the other thing that I'll point out here when it comes to Dion, like, he was nearly a point a game guy in the playoffs. Like, it wasn't a scenario where he just didn't get it done in the postseason. Like, he scored at a pretty good clip in the playoffs. It's just that he was on really bad LA Kings teams. Like, just, it is what it is. So go on.
All right. For me, I'm going to put a member of the Boston Bruins, and we may actually add another guy from the Boston Bruins to this list, but I'm going to go with Cam Neely. Like, when I was a kid, Cam Neely, you would watch SportsCenter and you always heard his name in the highlights for the Boston Bruins. The guy, he scored 50 goals multiple times. I believe he may have had a 100-point season. I know he had a couple of 90-point seasons. He was a multiple-time All-Star. I know he made the Cup at least once with the Bruins, and they lost to the Oilers. Hall of Fame guy, one of the best players, I think, of his generation, and probably one of the best players to never win the Stanley Cup. I'm going to go with Cam Neely.
All right, so I'm going to lean into Dale Hawerchuk here. 1,200 games, 518 goals, 1,409 points, 20th all-time in total scoring in the National Hockey League. Here's the thing with Dale Howard, Chuck, that just sucked for him. The Edmonton Oilers existed.
Yeah.
Like, the Winnipeg Jets had pretty good teams. Dale Hawerchuk was an absolute stud. Like, if not for Wayne Gretzky, Dale Hawerchuk would be one of the greatest to ever play the game, and we would accept him as that because he was that good in that era. However, the Edmonton Oilers existed. And the best opportunity for Dale Hawerchuk to win a cup was when he made the cup final with an upstart team from Philadelphia, and they lost to the Red Wings. They got swept in the cup final. So you, like, imagine spending all that time in your career in the postseason, spending all that time in your career never being able to kind of get past this big, bad Edmonton Oilers team. You finally get there, and then another dynasty smacks you right in the face, the Detroit Red Wings. Like, it's tough luck for Hawerchuk. You can't argue with the numbers. You can't argue with how impactful of a player he was throughout his entire career, and it is a bummer he was never able to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, came close that one time, and unfortunately for him, just ran into a juggernaut in, by the way, one of his teammates on that Flyers team might make an appearance on this list as well, so we'll have to wait and see. But I'm going to go with a guy who I think we know the name here in Las Vegas. Why? Because his son, Paul, was a member of the Golden Knights for a couple of seasons, and I'm going to go with Peter Stastny. I don't know if he was the first guy to defect from the Czech Republic and play in the NHL, but it was Czechoslovakia at the time, but certainly probably the best player from Czechoslovakia to come over and play in the United States or in the NHL at that time. He had over 1,200 points, played for multiple teams. He was the first rookie to crack the 100-point mark in 1980-81. He had seven seasons in his career of over 100 points. Played with his brothers, Marian and Anton, with the Nordiques, but never won the Stanley Cup. He's also a Hockey Hall of Famer. So I'm going to go with Peter Stastny and put him on the list of best players to never win the Stanley Cup.
All right. I'm going, initially I had two goalies on my list, but I'm going to amend that later on. And I'm going to go with just one goaltender, and it's Henrik Lundqvist. Like, 459 career wins, 64 shutouts, made a cup final one time, and lost to the Los Angeles Kings, Alec Martinez, Jazz Hands goal. Like, Henrik Lundqvist, for a period of time, probably a decade or so, was the best goaltender in the world. He was, at times, unbeatable. And yet he was only able to get to a cup final one time. There were plenty of Rangers teams that were propped up by the goaltending of Henrik Lundqvist, and it held up for a round or two, maybe even into the third round, but he was just never able to time it out to where he was playing his best hockey and the team in front of him was capable of actually winning it all. So when it's all said and done, I view Henrik Lundqvist as one of the best goaltenders to never win a championship, and that's why he's on the list for me.
He certainly belongs on that list. Here's one that maybe we don't – I think he finally did get into the Hall of Fame. But how about Daniel Alfredsson? I'm trying to go with guys from the era that I saw play, and Alfredsson, one of the best players that I can remember when I was a teenager and young man watching him with the Ottawa Senators. I remember when he came over, he was one of the high draft picks for a team that was starting out again. I know he's gone over the 1,000-point mark in his career, multiple All-Star games. He did lead the Senators to a cup final where they ended up losing to the Anaheim Ducks. But guy had a great career, probably did everything in his career other than win a Stanley Cup. Daniel Alfredsson, a guy, and maybe the best player to ever play for this rendition of the Ottawa Senators, and no cup for Daniel Alfredsson.
Okay, so here we go. I got a lot of time for this guy, Jerome Iginla. I loved Jerome Iginla. A lot of his career, clutching and grabbing, dead puck era, as you will. And he just was the best power forward in the game. It did not matter what you tried. It did not matter how many guys were hanging all over him. Jerome Iginla was not going to be denied. He was going to find a way. 625 goals, 1,300 points is just a massive total. But then when you factor in how rugged he was, how much longevity he had, 1,500 games in the National Hockey League, it's amazing considering his style of play. But here's the thing with Jerome Iginla. Made it to a Stanley Cup final one time. 2004, Tampa Bay Lightning. You had Jerome Iginla, the captain. You had Vincent LeCavalier. The Michael Jordan of hockey, if you will. If you don't remember that, go back and look up the beginning of Vincent LeCavalier's career. He was supposed to be the guy. He was heralded as the Eric Lindros, the Sidney Crosby, the next guy that was going to take the world by storm. A very skilled player, LeCavalier, who took a little bit of time to get his bearings in the National Hockey League. And those two guys, Jerome Iginla, Vinny LeCavalier, they threw hands in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. It was two superstars at the height of their game when the stage mattered the most, and they dropped the gloves in the first period of the Stanley Cup Final. and that's something that has not been done since then. The last time there was a fight in the first period of a Stanley Cup Final game, it was in 2004. It was raw. It was unscripted. It was as organic a coming-of-age moment as you can find in professional sports. And it's just unfortunate that Iginla couldn't get back there and he couldn't win a championship because he's done everything else. You remember the assist on the golden goal for Sidney Crosby. He has been able to get it done at every stage in every level. He just was never able to get the cup.
Yeah, led that Calgary team to a final, but the team around him was not exactly a great team. Certainly, I mean, generational talent as well, like a guy who was just so good at his craft and, you know, a guy who I think he did win an MVP and a guy who probably deserved better than what his ultimate, you know, fate was in the NHL in terms of whether he was going to win a championship or not. But another guy I'll throw on there, and I think this is my fifth, but you mentioned Eric Lindros. I'm going to put Eric Lindros on the list. When I was a kid, Eric Lindros, and maybe because I lived not too far from Philadelphia, I had a girlfriend and she had a crush on Eric Lindros. She had his posters on the wall in her room. She would watch the Flyers. I'd have to go to games with her. Not the greatest thing for me because I wasn't a Flyers fan. But Eric Lindros, there probably was a point where he was considered the best player in the league. He won an MVP. He had a ton of points in a career that was cut short due to injury, quite honestly. And maybe if he was, you know, able to stay healthy, maybe he would have gotten across the finish line and won that cup. You mentioned the Flyers going to one final. They got crushed by the Red Wings. But in that particular run, he had 12 goals and 26 points in 19 games. He played for a couple of other teams, the Rangers, the Stars, never got close. Unfortunately, he also played for the Leafs. So that was a guarantee that he was not going to get a Stanley Cup. But Eric Lindros, he was big. He was skilled. He was unbelievably talented. Man, he may have been the best player of his generation had he been able to stay healthy, but unfortunately not able to do so. And he's a guy who I think certainly belongs on the list of best players to never win the Stanley Cup.
All right, so here's my audible. I am not going with another goaltender, but I am going with another Florida Panther legend, Pavel Bure. Just kidding. Pavel Bure is one of the most talented players to ever play this game. There's no denying it. You can't really go in a different direction. Like, he was absolute gold. He was innovative. He was creative. He was fun, exciting. Won the Calder Trophy, 3-time All-Star, 2 Rocket Richards. Like, he's done everything, right? Like, he nearly scored 60 goals four times in the National Hockey League. Like, you want to talk about consistency and greatness, Bure had it. But this is where I want to really dig into Pavel Bure. He made the Stanley Cup final one time, 93-94. We all know that was the guarantee. Marc Messier, great leader. Oh, yeah, by the way, it was one of those Stanley Cups that Marc Messier won without Wayne Gretzky. But the opponent was the Vancouver Canucks in that Stanley Cup final. That year in the postseason, Bure led all scorers with 16 goals and in 24 games. 16 goals in 24 games. He had 3 goals and 5 assists, 8 points in 7 games in the Stanley Cup final. Like, he did everything that you want a superstar at 22 years old to do, but in the end, it just wasn't enough to overtake the absolute greatness that is Marc Messier's leadership. I'm telling you right now, I could live in a world where Marc Messier has just 5 Stanley Cup championships and Pavel Bure has 1. The hockey gods are mean. They're cruel sometimes. Pavel Bure, the most talented player without a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, he was his rookie year, like, you're like, wait a minute, who's this Russian rocket guy? Like, he really was a dynamic player. He kind of had movie star looks as well. So I think he was a popular player as well. But yeah, I remember that Rangers team quite well, and I remember the way things ended up going for the Vancouver Canucks. Man, I was pulling for them because I did not want to see the Rangers win a Stanley Cup. And I'm with you. I could live in a world where Bure has 1 and Marc Messier has 5. But yeah, he's a guy who definitely, again, he maybe along with, you know, Dion is a guy who probably is maybe top 2 or 3 on the list as far as guys who've never won. You know, I mean, what's crazy is you think about it, there's so many other guys that we could have put on this list, like Pat LaFontaine, I think, is certainly in the list. Pierre Turgeon, another former Islander. Adam Oates, who we didn't mention. You know, you brought up the goalies. I'll throw a name out there, and I don't think he's in the realm of Henrik Lundqvist or Roberto Luongo. But Curtis Joseph, when he retired, he was the goalie who had the most wins without winning a Stanley Cup. Like that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember how good he was with the St. Louis Blues, but they always seemed to just run into teams that were a little bit better. You know, Brett Hull had to carry them. It seemed through a lot of, you know, a lot of their playoff runs. He won an Olympic gold medal, but unfortunately for Curtis Joseph, just never was able to get that elusive Stanley Cup. And here's one I'm going to throw out, and we debated on whether or not he was a Hall of Fame player. How about Paul Kariya?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Paul Kariya's tough too because, like, you know, in your Mike Gartner comparison, like, Paul Kariya moved on from the Ducks. Ducks win a championship, right? Yeah. Like, it was poor timing in that he just was a year too late. I think that that's a great name to throw out there. The promise that he had, the ability to score, all of it. Paul Kariya is certainly a name that belongs on that list. You can look at Matt Sundin. You can look at Jason Spezza. Different types of players, but in the same ilk of a Paul Kariya, where, you know, they were with their organizations forever and just were never able to kind of get to that next level. Like Jason Spezza, Daniel Alfredson, they went to 1 Stanley Cup final. They lose to the Anaheim Ducks, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Ducks are a stacked team. You had Scott Niedermeyer, Rob Niedermeyer, you had Chris Pronger on that team. Like, it was as close to a super team in the National Hockey League as you're going to find, that 07 Ducks team. But, you know, again, it just shows you, right? When you're looking at how difficult it is to win a championship, and when you're looking at the caliber of names that are on this list, and this is by no means exhaustive. Like, there are plenty of players that we have not gotten to that are right there with the 10 names that we just discussed. Like,
yeah,
plenty of players that in any other sport, right? Like, if they were on a decent team, they probably win a championship. But hockey's just different.
Well,
it's just a different situation.
I mean, like, perfect example, that 2011 Canucks team. You think about Luongo, who I think arguably you could make the case, the best goalie to not have won the Stanley Cup. And then you have, I'll include them as one, but the Sedins. Like, I mean, sure. The two of those guys plus Luongo, I mean, that could be three of your five right there in terms of best players to never have won the Stanley Cup, and that's on one team.
Right. And, like, when you even start to look at Stanley Cup champions over the last 10, 12, 15 years, right? Like, you know, like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, when they won their first championship, they were not at the top of the mountain. Like, they were not considered the best players in the league. Like, there was really no period of time where Jonathan Toews was considered the best player of the league. Like, you know how much I love the 2012 and 2015 Los Angeles Kings, but they didn't have a player on that team that was in the top 10 in terms of players in the league. Like, Andre Kopitar is great, but he's not a top 10 player all time. He's not a top 10 player of his generation. Like, you're not talking about Kopitar in that way. And so when you look at it, more often than not, you're going to get teams that are a collection of really good players with one or two guys that push you over the edge as a superstar, as a generational type talent, as an Austin Matthews type of talent or a Connor McDavid type of talent. Generally speaking, your road is a little bit tougher in today's National Hockey League than it is for some other players that are on better suited teams to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see guys from this generation. I mean, like Pavelski, obviously, you know, he will be on that list. You know, I know there's a couple of other players from that Stars team that maybe will end up on the list if they don't go and win a Stanley Cup. Look, if the Panthers don't win and Matthew Tkachuk doesn't win, he might find himself on this list sometime. I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, like some of these great players, you look around the league and how much talent there is, maybe more than ever. And there's a lot of these guys who are all stars year in, year out, and there's no guarantee that they're going to win a Stanley Cup.
You're right on the money. It's the hardest trophy to win for a reason. And it's also why you can't necessarily tie the greatness of an individual player to whether or not they're in the right circumstance to win a Stanley Cup. We're going to take a break, come back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. A fun note here on Corey Perry. When Corey Perry plays in the Stanley Cup Final, and believe me, we are getting closer. Doesn't feel like it, I know. Still a couple more days before that series gets underway. But when Corey Perry plays in the Stanley Cup Final, he will be the first player in NHL history to play for the Stanley Cup with five different teams. Of course, Corey Perry won the Stanley Cup with Anaheim in 2007. He went to the final with Dallas in 2020, went to the final with Montreal in 2021, went to the final with Tampa in 2022, and is now on the precipice of going to the Stanley Cup final with Edmonton in 2024. How do you view this? Because, like, it's pretty wild that Corey Perry individually went to three consecutive Stanley Cup finals and took a year off and then just decided, I'm going to go back. Another one.
Yeah, you know, I look at it as there are good teams that look at him and think he has the ability to provide a service to help them out. And, you know, I think when you get to the stage of your career that he is in, you can be very particular and very picky about where you choose to go. Now, I understand he didn't start the year in Edmonton. You know, he started the year somewhere else, and that didn't work out. But at the end of the day, when he became a free agent, I'm sure his phone was ringing, and I'm guessing there were some good teams that were looking to sign him, and he ultimately ended up in Edmonton. And while he hasn't been a huge contributor, he's certainly a guy who I think he helps you in a lot of different ways. He provides leadership, and I think he's also a guy who's not afraid to mix it up and stir the pot if he has to. So, I think good for him. Obviously, like I said, he's earned the ability to pick and choose where he goes, and who knows? Maybe he'll win another cup before he hangs him up. I mean, I don't know how much longer he's going to play, but I certainly, when the season started, I certainly did not have Corey Perry playing in the Stanley Cup final on my bingo card.
Well, why not? Like, all the guy does is go to a Stanley Cup final.
Well,
ridiculous.
It would have taken a miracle to get the team he was originally playing with to the Stanley Cup final.
Well, he was never – listen, regardless of the reason why he's no longer a Chicago Blackhawk, he was never going to be there all season long. That was not –
he's probably going to be traded at some point, yeah.
Yeah. Are you worried, though, if you're Edmonton? Because, like, he's 1-3 in Cup finals.
I mean, maybe.
And he's lost his last three Cup finals.
Yeah, won the first, lost the last three. I don't know. Is Pat Maroon available? Can you get him on the line and maybe have him come join you real quick?
No.
No, yeah. That's
No.
I think I'd rather have him on my side. But, yeah, you know, it's...
Okay. From Corey Perry to Martin Natchez. I know you are a big Martin Natchez fan.
I like him. Yeah.
Apparently half the teams in the National Hockey League like him too, as Pierre LeBrun reports that's who's inquired about Martin Natchez. It's no real secret here that I think the player wants a change of scenery. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are trying to make themselves better, by moving on from Natchez, which seems weird to me. He's a pending RFA, scored 24 goals this season, 1 year removed from a 71-point campaign. LeBrun specifically mentioned the Montreal Canadiens and the Philadelphia Flyers. Which makes more sense for a player like Marty Natchez?
I think the Flyers, because they're closer. You know, they were in the hunt for a bit this year. I think they've got some young, talented players. If that Russian goalie ever is able to get going for them, he could be a guy who leads them into that next phase of where they want to get to. Look, Montreal's an interesting situation because we're only a couple of years removed from them making a Stanley Cup final, but we all know that was never sustainable and it was never going to be a continuous situation for them. I think if I'm him, I probably think Philadelphia's a better spot only because they're closer. But he would help both teams tremendously. I mean, he's a good player. He's a highly skilled guy. And, you know, as you mentioned, an RFA, so you can kind of get him on your own terms. And I think it's going to be interesting. It's a really interesting offseason for Carolina because they're going through some serious, serious changes, changing the general manager position. And I guess they've decided that, look, they probably rightfully so, are valuing re-signing Jake Guentzel. So Natchez going to be the odd man out, I think. And I think, you know, we'll have to see. But Philadelphia would be a good landing spot. It'd be a real good landing spot for him, I think.
So, like, are the Carolina Hurricanes going to be better next year? Or do you view them taking a step back? Because, frankly, I have no idea what they're going to be next year.
I think I'm with you in that I'm not really sure where they're going to be next year. They do have some question marks. You've got Tara Vinen, who is a UFA. You've obviously got Jordan Martinuk, who is also a UFA. Jake Guentzel, who you have not re-signed. They know it's a priority for you. You've got questions at the goalie position. I think they're a team in transition. You know, you've got multiple defensemen who are entering the last year of their contract, and maybe you're kind of happy that Brent Burns, who's going to be 40 coming up, is on the last year of his deal, but Jacob Slavin also in the last year of his deal. There's a lot going on in Raleigh, and that's not even to mention they have a general manager who walked away from the team just 2 weeks ago. So there's a lot of changes going on there. I don't know if they're going to be better. In fact, I would not be surprised if they're not as good next year as they have been the last couple of years.
Okay, so the Montreal Canadiens are in on Marty Natchez. It appears they're also in, potentially, on Trevor Zegras. The Ducks are reportedly listening to offers on Trevor Zegras. Zegras is coming off a 15-point season that was limited to just 31 games due to injury. Listen, when you look at Pat Verbeek as the GM of the Anaheim Ducks and you think about the type of player that Pat Verbeek was, Trevor Zegras doesn't fit anymore. I don't think Trevor Zegras fits what the Anaheim Ducks want to become as a team. So I think it makes sense, if you've made that decision, trying to move on as quickly as you can. The Ducks are looking for a top six forward and a top four defenseman, like every other team in the National Hockey League is looking for over the course of this offseason. But they are also looking for veteran leadership and players that have been around a time or two. I don't know how Montreal helps you there, but if you're looking to make a hockey trade, if you're looking at, you know, pieces that you might be able to entice Pat Verbeek with, I think Montreal's really interesting. And GM Kent Hughes says that we're in a position, the Montreal Canadiens being, where it can make us better now, but it can also make us better in a couple of years, and it's like, okay, that's fine. I think it's interesting that Montreal is trying to be aggressive. I think it's interesting if they are able to land both Natchez and Zegras, because then they're really leaning into high skill, high octane, little defensive responsibility. but maybe that's the way for the Montreal Canadiens. We'll find out.
You know, I look at their roster, and there's a lot of really young talent on that team. I mean, we got to remember, Nick Suzuki is only 24. And it seems like he's been in the league forever, but they've got guys like Cole Caulfield. I think Alex Newhook is another guy. Juraj Slafkovský. I mean, they've got some really talented young players. Where they don't have a ton of talent, at least in terms of established talent, is on the blue line. So I look at the roster and I'm like, all right, yeah, you've got these young guys, Caden Gooley being one and Lane Hudson, but you don't have any real experience on that blue line. So if I'm a Canadiens fan, I'm asking, when are we going to upgrade the blue line? Because you don't have any, I mean, David Savard, he's 35, like, or 33. Like, you don't have an established star on that blue line. And I know it's not easy to go get one, but I don't really think you have anything on that blue line. So it's a spot where I think, yeah, go be aggressive, but you also have to improve your team in other areas. And can Sam Montembeault, can he play as well as he did at times last year? I mean, they're an intriguing team. I like watching young players. I like Nick Suzuki. They've got to put some more around him, but I think they've got to put some established players around him in order for them to take the next step. Zegras is probably in that mix, but you don't know how he's going to be next season coming off the injury.
Is Trevor Zegras an Anaheim Duck next year?
Oh, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, if they're listening to offers for him, I mean, they credit to Pat Verbeek for realizing that what they have is not working, is not going to work, and looking at ways to try to go about this a different way. Whether or not what he chooses to do works is another story. But I think this idea of, yeah, we're just going to stink year in, year out and get top five picks and draft players and bring them up right away and hope it works out, I don't know if that's the right way to do it. And as I mentioned the other day, poor John Gibson's in on the back end and he gets peppered every night. So,
Come on. John Gibson's fine. Don't worry about John Gibson. Those are your one-timers for today, Wednesday, June 5th. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, I don't know how big you are into, like, apparel in terms of, like, hats and jerseys and stuff, but I don't know if you've seen the Fanatics Stanley Cup hats that they've put out for the Oilers and the Florida Panthers, but are we serious? Is this really what we're doing for a championship series? Like, I try to not bash fanatics, despite the fact that I see lots of fans and not only hockey, but Major League Baseball doing it as well. And it's like, if you're not going to put an effort into it, then let someone else do it. Because, I mean, it's the laziest, most uninteresting, just dull, boring hat that I've ever seen. Like, put some effort into it. First of all, the ones they had, like, I remember watching the Stars players come out for the post-game interviews at T-Mobile after the game, thinking, there's no way this is a real hat. And it was. It was a tiny logo on this just dull, yeah, ugly colored hat. Like put some color into it. What are we doing?
So I did see it. Obviously, the creator of the hat read the subtle art of not giving a bleep.
Yes, because apparently they didn't try. So. He did not give a you know what. Good gosh.
So maybe it's the highest form of sophistication there, Chapman.
Apparently.
Did you ever think of that?
In someone's mind, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, they're brutal. But people are going to buy them anyway. So why try? Okay.